Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, March 27th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Good afternoon, Melody.
Well, gold today, we're looking at down 650 on gold today at 1198. Silver's down 16 at 1705, platinum down 12 at 1142, and we have palladium down almost 4%, 743 down 30 bucks today. That was a big move for palladium. It was about time. And except for those that are holding palladium, but it'd probably be a good time to sell a little bit of it if you're holding some. The USDX today is down 0.10 at 97.35. Crude oil was hit big today, 2.98. Not sure what drove it up to the low 50s and then have this huge reversal, you know, within a day or two, other than, hey, it was a good way for these guys to make billions of dollars. And 48.45 for oil. And the paper markets today, nothing big on the day, up 34, 17,712. The NASDAQ up 27, 48.91. The S&P up 4, 2,061. The yield broke down, the 10-year, 1.95%. Euro is still trading at 109. It was interesting, some of the bigger gainers for the day. You have Carnival Corporation, which is cruise ships, Royal Caribbean Cruises. They were up almost 6.5%. Carnival was up 640. I'm not sure if that was based on, more people are going to, more people will do boating instead of flying. Not sure. Just a thought.
It might be. Yeah, they're going to have. Will they have two pilots in the wheelhouse on the boat to make sure that the one pilot doesn't send the boat crashing into the shore?
But we do know boats sink, and. There isn't anything that is 100% safe. The fear index today is down a little bit lower, 36. So we continue to see that drop a little bit for the market. The emotion that is driving the market is 36, I believe, a week ago. It was just, you know, it was certainly a little bit higher. And I think a couple of weeks ago, it was high into the greed area. So, you know, those emotions change very quickly.
Well, it's crazy. You know, it's one of the things where, again, we harp on the idea, but where is some sort of an idea of fundamentals that anyone understands? Do people pay attention to fundamentals, or are they investing based on whether this is a month with an R in it or not? You know, or what does their horoscope say? Is that what really drives? Maybe we should start correlating the Tao to the horoscopes and see if there's more correlation there than there is to actual events. You know, we've got problems in the Middle East. There's Ukraine. The United States, the government claims they still have 8,200 tons of gold or thereabouts. And good reason to believe they don't have that at all. They don't have most of that. And they might not have hardly any of it. And yet, you know, the world continues to spin as if it all made perfectly good sense. And, you know, there are times I've said it a bunch of times, but there are times when I feel like I'm the only nut in the nut house who's not getting any meds. Everybody else doesn't seem to mind. World's gone a little bit crazy, but it's not a problem. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Be happy. And maybe that's the, I don't know, maybe that's the best advice. Don't worry. Be happy. But it seems to me that if you're involved in, if you've made financial investments or you plan on making financial investments, you've got to fact, you've got to watch for that buy low and sell, those buy low and sell high moments. And that means when everybody is, or at least they should be, losing their marbles and the blood is running in the streets, which is the way Marin Rothschild described it a couple of centuries ago. So that's the time to buy. I don't know. It's like people aren't going to buy unless you need, there's so much blood you need a snorkel. You know, you can swim around in all the blood with your snorkel, and then it might be time to buy. It's just strange. The world is irrational, and almost inexplicably so.
Yes. Here's an interesting that just came across. You know, and again, you know, we're not so sure the who's behind all this, but here's a report that to all the Central American countries, and we do know that China and Russia are out there trying to strengthen their relationships with countries that the U.S. doesn't seem to be involved with, but all the Central American countries are prepared to strengthen cooperation with Russia. In a broad spectrum of spheres, the Guatemalan foreign minister said on Thursday, upon the end of negotiations with Russia's foreign minister, we're looking to strengthen our cooperation. And he's not only speaking on behalf of Guatemala, but on behalf of all the Central American nations. He confirmed the reports that Russia will file an application for a non-regional observer status in the Central American Integration System at the Association's conference that's underway right now. So, again, you know, you're seeing, and the Central American Integration System braces Belize, Costa Rica, Dominican Republic. Yes, these are all, you know, Honduras, Nicaragua, Panama, and El Salvador. But again, we're seeing signs that the powerhouse of America is declining as you see these other nations, Russia and China, move in and take over. And again, they're taking over these smaller countries, building these relationships. And, you know, it's another sign of the times of the instability that we're, you know, facing as the world shifts.
A lot of the instability we're facing is evidence that the time when America was the world's global policeman has expired, or is at least expiring, right? There was a time, there was a decade, 20 years, when we almost exclusively maintained order on the face of the earth. If anybody was going to do it, we would. Now it appears that we won't or we can't. And other nations are sensing that void, and instability is resulting. People are in the vacuum, the resulting vacuum of power. Other nations are moving in, take a shot, see what they can get. And we are, you know, for the right now, we may be unable to duplicate the kind of power that we were able to throw around prior to Bush's invasion of Iraq, 2003. Up until then, we pretty much had this thing under control, or at least it appeared that way to most observers. But since then, we have steadily declined in terms of power and influence, and in terms of lunatics in the White House. We've gone from one idiot to one that was even crazier. And the result is a certain amount of global instability. There are other reasons for this, like the Arab Spring, for example, 4 years ago. We had the Arab Spring. Things broke loose in the Middle East. They certainly haven't settled down. We've got our policy. The government's been suppressing the gold policy. This is suppressing the price of gold. And in fact, I've got a couple articles on this, and here's one from that involved Paul Volcker. This is from Investment Research Dynamics, published yesterday, I believe. Paul Volcker, Gold is the Enemy, that's the headline. Paul Volcker spoke at a meeting in New York on Wednesday, the fervor with which Volcker repeatedly asserted that gold was the enemy during his term in the as Federal Reserve Chairman was striking. Over the years, Volcker's made no secret that the Federal Reserve assumed a policy in which it sought to control the price of gold. Now, they go on and they amplify this, and Volcker's comments, and he's been quoted in Japan and whatever, but he saw gold as the enemy. And the article says gold is the mortal enemy of fiat currency and therefore the mortal enemy of modern central bankers. Fiat currency is the mechanism by which those who are in control of the system suck wealth away from everyone else. But at some point, the natural laws of economics are going to reassert themselves, and that's when the central bankers will lose their ability to control the price of gold. The disconnect between real wealth and the amount of fraudulent paper wealth issued by the Fed has never been greater than it is now. And they have a graph here to illustrate what's happened to the price of gold. And it has gone down at the same time that the issuance of fiat dollars has increased dramatically. And we have billions, if not trillions, of additional fiat dollars pumped into the economy since 2011, early in 2012. In the last 3 years, they've punched an exorbitant amount of extra fiat dollars into the global economy, fiat dollars and other free fiat currencies, and at the price of gold at the same time has gone down. We should have seen gold rise due to inflation. It hasn't. That would have been a reasonable expectation. It hasn't. The evidence indicates that the gold is still, that the governments of the world are still working to control and suppress the price of gold. The article continues, says anyone who still believes that central banks and governments do not manipulate the price of gold is probably still inclined to believe in the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus. For everyone who seeks to understand the truth, the admission by then-Chairman Federal Alan Greenspan back in July of 1998 underscores the fact. Greenspan, back in 1998, he said central banks, not just the Federal Reserve, central banks, meaning central banks of the world, stand ready to lease gold in increasing quantities should the price of gold rise. Talk to Congress in 1998. It's evidence. His admission 17 years ago was that was made when the price of gold was about $300 an ounce, and the U.S. government allegedly held 8.2 metric tons of gold. Today, the government still claims to hold about 8.2 metric tons of gold. The price of gold has climbed to nearly $1,200. It's been as high as $1,900. If Greenspan was telling the truth in 1998, we can assume that since then, the Federal Reserve and central banks of the world have leased hundreds and perhaps thousands of tons of gold into the market, in order to suppress the price of gold and support the illusory value of fiat currencies around the world. And, you know, Volcker, his comment that gold is the enemy, right? When at least he understood that when he was chairman of the Federal Reserve. It simply illustrates, we've been saying the same thing on this program for years. I've been saying it without realizing that Volcker, had, back years ago, had admitted the truth of it. The relationship between gold and fiat currencies like the fiat dollar is not simply one of, you know, the price of gold is 1100, it's 1200, it's 1900, it's 1500. It's not just a price relationship. What is the dollar value of the gold? These are mortal enemies. Gold and fiat currency are at bottom mortal enemies. You know, and it's like watching one of these movies. You know, there can only be one. What was the name? What was the name of that? I don't remember the TV series and even a couple of movies that were made. The Immortals or something along those lines. In the end, one of these is going to triumph. One is going to be destroyed. Gold's been around for 5,000 years. Fiat currency, pure fiat dollars, have been around for a little over 40. Let's see. Odds are who's going to win this battle, you know? But the point is, it is a battle. And there are people on the side of the dollar that are doing everything they can to suppress and destroy the price of gold. They understand that their survival, their ability to make fat salaries, big bonuses, fly around the world, buy corporate jets and so on, it depends on suppressing the reality, the truth of physical gold. So here our government, Greenspan claims in 1998 they have that if the price of gold rises, they are prepared to lease gold into the market to suppress the price of gold. Back then they claimed to have 8,200 tons of gold. Back then the price of gold was $300 an ounce. Today the price of gold is $1,200 an ounce. We would have to suppose that if Greenspan was telling the truth back in 1998, we'd have to suppose that the Federal Reserve did lease some, maybe most, maybe almost all of the gold that was available to them. They may have leased it into the market in order to suppress the price of gold, and they weren't particularly successful. But it leads us to the next question. If they really did lease a significant amount of gold into the market, how long before they finally run out of gold? And what happens when they do? And they've used the idea of the lease in order to say, oh, yeah, we still own 8,200 tons of gold. That's ours. We just leased it into the market. We didn't sell it into the market. But they leased it to gold bullion banks who did sell it. And the truth is the federal government will never get that gold back, all right, at least not through any legitimate means. And it leads us again. Did the government work to suppress the price of gold? And the answer is yes. And if they did, by leasing gold into the market, how much of that 8,200 tons is still left? And if the answer is not much, how much longer can they manipulate the price of gold before they have to stop? And when they do, what happens then? And the answer is the price of gold is going to jump. It's going to skyrocket. It's going to rise in ways that people right now might think are unimaginable. We'll take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis, here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back. That means Frank gets to play the music now, Frank. I think Frank is pushing the button on the computer again. And we're going to get Frank a hammer. So you can hit that button with a hammer, Frank, and then it'll know you mean business and you really want to play the music, and then the computer will obey.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family. American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom. Program is brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. What's next, Melody?
Hey, we're going to continue the special this week. I think I'll change it next week, but we have the Mint State 64 St. Gaudens $20 gold piece. We have 20 Morgan silver dollars, beautiful silver dollar coins, and that package is $2,015, and that includes all your shipping costs. And again, the comparison from March 9th, we have spot gold down $35, and we have the Mint State 64 St. Gaudens increased in price of $110. So these will be certified either by NGC or PCGS coins, and it's a great special. If you like those $20 St. Gaudens, it's a great way to diversify your portfolio. And, of course, the beautiful Morgan silver dollars, and 20 of those in a tube. This includes your shipping costs, $2,015. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. I believe we have a caller on the line, Al.
That's right, Jim from West Virginia. Hello, Jim. Haven't heard from you for a while.
Oh, I had nothing to contribute. You do such a fine job.
I thought maybe you'd been apprehended or something. I wasn't sure if I was wondering how long before you bailed out. I didn't know, but
I'm
what
always
you got
afraid.
For us?
I'm always afraid I'll wear out my welcome. But at any rate, I'm going to give a little historical perspective on this stuff because I've been awake for half a century. Been listening to shortwave for over half a century. And shortwave, 50 years ago, you heard a variety of voices. Now I think the New World Order control, governments control almost all the shortwave. But my parents woke me up about the Fed, false flags, corporations taking over, stolen our governments, made me read a bunch of real history. And different things would happen. Like one time we heard that communists had blown up and burned down a church, and I can't remember where it was, Singapore, Indonesia, I don't remember. And Dad says, check this out. So later that night, he called the sales office for carbide in that country and asked about it. He said, hey, it never happened. So one of his favorite jokes was this. There's a little Jewish boy, and this is nothing against Jewish people, but he used to make little jokes about little Jewish boys and Jews, and not seriously bad, but it wasn't. But anyway, he said, Avi, I want you, a little four-year-old boy, I want you to climb up this ladder and climb up there to the roof, and I'm going to teach you about trust, and I want you to jump off. So little Avi jumps off the roof, and Daddy doesn't catch him. Little Avi goes, pud, cries his eyes out, and he says, I teach you about trust, kid. Don't trust nobody. Now, that was a rather sick joke, but he didn't trust anybody. He taught me not to trust anybody or anything. Once you're aware of the fact that the new mainstream media lies like crazy and schools lie and everybody else, you have a habit of anytime anybody says something, you say, yeah, right. Okay. A lot of different things occurred. I went to West Virginia University. I used to seek out people from other countries because I listened to shortwave. And the Latin American engineering students, some of them were from wealthy families, some were just smart as a whip there on scholarships. And the other engineering students called them gringos and, wetbacks and slurred them. I sought them out. And what I heard, for instance, they say, oh, foreign aid, yeah, your government sends our government money, and they use that to come up with mail sorting machines and surveillance stuff and stuff to suppress the population and go around. And at any rate, they despised American foreign aid. Yet our mainstream media says, oh, it's wonderful. The different countries were different, but they despised our military. They were obsessed with sex and violence and drugs and told me many stories, and the local governments wouldn't do anything about it. And the military-based commanders wouldn't do anything about it, but they despised our military. Also, I had a beloved Latin teacher who told me many truths, one of which is this. A soldier in his own land defending it, good soldier. He spoke nine languages. He's the leading Christian figure in Czechoslovakia. I saw when he was given his naturalization papers by Eisenhower, I saw the photograph. He would say otherwise things like, if America does not take her war machine apart, somebody will do that for her. Now, this was 40 years ago, over 40 years ago. And another one was, America started out on her knees. She will go back to her knees one way or the other, meaning back into prayer, or bending over, get their heads chopped off, basically. Now, what I'm
trying to tell you... So what do you think is the fundamental problem? Are you leading to... What do you think is the fundamental... what you're saying is that we've been losing our status internationally. We've been losing our power internationally. It's becoming more and more apparent.
Yep.
Becoming more and more confused and chaotic. And... why is this happening? Did we just go too far? Did the government go too far? Have the people been too lax? Have we refused to curb our government?
It leads right back to where you guys start out almost every day. This is the termination, the culmination of a 2,600-plus year battle between the devil's currency, which has been used to fund all this stuff. I understand, if you're a member of the Federal Reserve, you have unlimited credit. That means you can borrow as much money as you want. You don't have to pay it back. This goes back to the fundamental issue of a question of battle between the devil's currency and God's money. Because the devil's currency is what has created all this stuff. We have our paper currency, which we print to pay off criminals. We have all these different ways which all of a sudden we go out and go into endless wars. The Federal Reserve came here, folks, to bankrupt this nation with debt and to destroy our military, to destroy America. Now, I can't flip a coin all of a sudden, and I push a button, rather, and flip a coin and all of a sudden have a gold coin instead of a piece of paper in my hand. But this is ultimately a culmination of a 2,600-year battle that I'm aware of. Some people say it goes back to the Garden of Eden. I'm not going to go that far. I'm just talking pure economics. But the simple truth of the matter is this. It will collapse one way or the other. The question is how bloody and when. If you look at the reverse side of the Virginia State Seal, Virginia Seal, it says, sic semper tyrannis. This is what always happens to tyrants. It's always been with us. The question is when and how bloody. So, folks, just get ready for it. That's the main thing I got to say. Understand that real wealth has little to do with currency. It has everything to do with food, fuel, fiber for clothing, materials, tools, finished goods, finished services. That's the real wealth in the world. If you
you're bringing up a couple of points here. At least you're raising implications that are interesting in terms of why is it that the world has focused on gold and silver for the last several thousand years? And I don't have an answer that anyone can point to and say, that is exactly the truth. But one of the things that crosses my mind, I read the Bible. I'm a student, not a scholar, but I read the Bible, and there are at least two verses in the Bible where the good Lord says, the gold and the silver are mine. I wonder if that explains the fascination people have. Do we have a kind of natural desire for gold and silver simply because it's God's? You know, one of the things about the Federal Reserve notes in your pocket, they are owned. Legal title to those notes are owned by the Federal Reserve System. They're loaned into circulation. You don't really own the gold or the fiat currency that's in your wallet. You could own the gold. If you had gold, you had silver. You could own it. Why? Because God is not going to take it away from you. The Federal Reserve might. God is leaving the gold. It's his gold. It's not man's money, if you catch what I'm getting, where I'm going with this. And that may be part of the reason why we prefer the gold to the paper dollars, or at least we should. I had another point that was running through my mind. Here's the problem with fiat currency. If we're living in a gold-based economy, and I go to buy a car, and I'm going to pay for that car with 20 ounces of gold, all right? Let's say I'm paying for the car with 20 ounces of gold. It means when I buy that car, I make a real payment, right? I'm paying for that car. I am betting that my decision to buy that particular car is wise and the price I'm negotiating is sensible, because if I'm wrong, I'm wasting some or all of my 20 ounces of gold. When I buy something, I risk something. But what does the Federal Reserve risk when they pay debts, when they inject $80 billion a month in the form of quantitative easing, and they hand it over to the big banks?
Well,
what are they risking? They don't risk anything when they create fiat currency. And that's, to me, this is the big point. If you don't put something on the table where you incur some risk by using gold or silver, I stand to lose something. When I use fiat currency, if I can print it for myself, I'm not going to lose anything. I can be as stupid as I want to be. I can be as irrational as I want to be. I can be as malicious as I want to be, so long as I don't actually have to pay. I don't pay. I don't redeem. They don't redeem those Federal Reserve notes with anything. If you take your Federal Reserve note, $100 bill, take it to the Federal Reserve Bank, they'll give you a new $100 bill. You can't redeem it with them. If you want it redeemed in something, you have to buy gold from someone like Melody, or cars from somebody like the Cadillac dealer, or whoever. But you don't redeem it with the people who issue it. They take no risk. You follow what I'm saying there?
Well, let me toss this one out to make it very clear to people. There's no sweat equity in the paper dollars. Now, that confuses folks sometimes. Like, huh? But it requires a certain amount of effort to obtain gold or silver. And as a result of that, its value is somewhat attached to the amount of effort required to obtain it. But I've said this time and time again, okay, let's say you have a friendly neighborhood counterfeiter, and you go need some money, so you borrow it from him. So it costs him nothing to produce this counterfeit currency, but you've got to bust your butt to pay it back. And not only that, but he wants interest. Now, what the H are you doing? We don't owe any interest, debt, nothing to the counterfeiters. If you don't believe the Federal Reserve is a counterfeiting operation, dig up the Coinage Act of 1792. It's a real simple little doodah. It defines what a dollar is, a lawful dollar. And it provides the death penalty for counterfeiters. Now, this has been going on for 100 years, and it's about time people woke up. It's about time our military understood the reason they're in 100 different countries is they are the shadow, to back up the shadow banksters, counterfeiters that run those countries. Now, one way or the other, there's a reason why we're losing influence. If you had paid attention, if folks paid attention to what other people in other countries think of our military, our government, they'd have known this was a long time coming. So there's a reason why Guatemala and several Central American countries are getting close to the Russians and the Chinese are sick and tired of America meddling in their affairs. So as I said, I've had very little to contribute, but real wealth is real payment, food, fuel, fiber,
and it's also material. Personal risk.
Right.
There has to be some. You talk about sweat equity. I'm talking about personal risk. We're basically, from my perspective, we're on the same page. We're saying
exactly.
It a little differently. But somebody, it's the idea that the dollar has to be redeemable. We're going to take a paper dollar. Okay, we use paper, but I can take it to the bank and I can redeem it for an ounce of silver. Or I can redeem it for 20 ounces of, or I can redeem 20 of them for an ounce of gold or whatever. But it is redeemable when someone gives you a piece of paper. They have to make good on it. But in the system we have right now, they give us these pieces of paper. They lend them into circulation, but they never have to redeem them. If you want your paper dollar redeemed, you got to go to somebody, one of your neighbors, to redeem it.
And
you don't go to the Federal Reserve, gets to pay all these bills, but they never have to redeem them.
And what is so horrible is these Federal Reserve notes have been the power behind almost everything evil which occurs, not just ours, but other paper currencies. They create the wars. It allows them to, quote, finance, end quote, two sides of wars. It's the devil's currency, and it will go down. The question is when.
I agree.
Thanks
again. I agree,
again.
Jim. All right, thank you. Thanks for your call, Jim. Appreciate your comments. What are we looking at? Let me take a look at my little clock down here. Yeah, we've got about 40, 50 seconds. Melody, anything you'd like to add?
No, Jim was spot on with his call today. And, you know, we always do appreciate him calling in. I agree, it is the devil's currency, and it is evil, and it has created evil in this world, and it has allowed them to promote. Look at Wall Street. I mean, when you look at Wall Street and all the money that goes in there, I mean, they have financed the destruction of this country. They have destroyed, or it has been used to help promote the destruction of this country. So, you know, they use it as their bank. Wall Street is their bank. And I remember Joan Vion telling me that a long time ago, and she was absolutely 100%. So that is how they get their finances, and that is how there's no accountability, and everybody just goes right along with the plan.
Well, this is the first step going to return to something reasonable. Is people need to understand the difference between fiat currency and gold and silver. They need to understand how important real money is in your life. And if you don't get it, you're going to wind up in bondage. You're going to wind up in slavery. You're going to wind up in a concentration camp. And it will flow from your currency more so than anything else. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cedarstrom on Financial Survival. Frank has got the music running. So we'd better take a break for some commercial announcements. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
Greeks thought thyme herb provided strength. Indeed, the chemical compounds of thyme contain antioxidants, an effective germicide that kills whooping cough bacteria and makes breathing easier. Just imagine what you can do with thyme herb when it comes to respiratory ailments like croup, pneumonia, asthma, and sinusitis. The extra benefit of Thymerb is that it soothes nerves and stops spasmodic coughing, so you can get some rest. Who says you don't have time to take care of yourself? Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free for Thyme Tincture NT to soothe your cough and get some rest. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International 704-875-8010 or online at thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. I've got an article here from Bloomberg. Now, this is interesting to me. It's silly. It's crazy in some regards, but it's interesting. And the headline is, here are the countries with the most gold reserves and the ones that have been buying it the most. At the turn of the millennium, it seemed that gold was starting to go out of fashion with the world's central bankers as a reserve asset. Between January 2000 and March of 2009, central banks reduced their reserve holdings of gold by more than 114 million troy ounces. Now, this probably, and they say more than, I don't know, nobody knows how much they really injected into the economy, but this is consistent with Alan Greenspan's comment in 1998 that the central banks were prepared to inject gold into the economy, lease it into the economy in order to suppress the price of gold. They're saying here the central banks between 2000 and 2009, basically when gold peaked at $1,900 an ounce, the banks reduced their reserve holdings of gold by more than 114 million troy ounces. Since then, possibly driven by the recovery of gold prices and the global financial crisis, central banks have been steadily increasing their holdings, which is interesting. Greenspan said they'd reduce their holdings in order to suppress the price of gold, and gold rose. When they stopped injecting gold into the economy, all right, the price of gold has been falling. That is contrary to conventional logic. When they injected gold into the economy, that should have suppressed the price, and it may have restricted the growth in the price of gold, but it just certainly didn't stop it from growing. But since they have stopped injecting gold into the economy, the price of gold has actually fallen, which means to me that they've found another device to suppress the price of gold, something other than leasing it. And this idea that they lease the gold into the economy is just a great fiction, again, for the purpose. They said, we just leased it. We still own the gold. We still have 8,200 tons of gold, but we leased, see? We didn't sell it, didn't give it away, didn't lose it. We still own it. We just don't exactly know where it is or how we can lay hands on it. And the truth is that gold is gone. However much they've leased, the majority of it will never return to the Federal Reserve System, at least not under any lawful means. Here's their, they've provided a graphic image of who holds the most gold, And they claim the United States holds about 261 million troy ounces, which translates into a little less than 8.2 thousand tons of gold. And they are saying, this is from Bloomberg, based on numbers provided by the International Monetary Fund. And the next nation in terms of the amount of gold that they have is Germany, which is in the neighborhood of something like 90 million ounces. And then there's Italy, which allegedly has somewhere around 80 million ounces, and France has about the same. And they say that between these four countries, United States, Germany, Italy, and France, those four countries hold about 50% of the world's gold, or at least the world's 50% of the world's gold held by central bankers. But they get down, well, they say the biggest holder of the reserves is the U.S. with 261 million troy ounces. The top four, just talked about them, allegedly hold more than 50% of all global gold reserves. But who says so? Nobody's audited the Federal Reserve since the gold, nobody's audited the United States gold supply, Fort Knox and whatever, since 1953. We're just taking the janitor's word for it that he hasn't moved 50 pounds of gold out the door every day when he knocked off work. Nobody in the public really knows how much money is in the U.S. and or Federal Reserve gold treasury. They make claims, but they're the same claims they had back in 1953. And since then, they have allegedly dispersed substantial amount of their gold in order to suppress the price of gold. And yet they claim to still have as much gold today as they had when they started this thing. Now, you know somebody's lying. Either our government never dispersed substantial amounts of gold into the marketplace in order to suppress the price of gold, and that means our Federal Reserve was never the enemy of the gold. It was never mortal enemies. Our mortal enemies were the central banks in foreign countries. They were the ones that spent all the gold and tried to suppress the price of gold, where our government just held on the gold it had, never interfered. Well, you know that's not true. But if it's not true, then you also know that they claim to have 8,200 tons of gold does not compute. They don't have that much anymore. Now, how much they have remains to be seen. But here is what makes this graph and this article from Bloomberg particularly interesting to me. Again, we've got the first four, United States, Germany, Italy. And then we've got Russia, Switzerland, Japan, Netherlands, India, and Turkey. These are the 10 countries in terms of who has the most gold. But Bloomberg says, note, we have not included data for China in the above chart, as there is considerable uncertainty about how large China's gold holdings currently are. The latest reported data from 2000 would put them in eighth place. Well, 2009 is a long time ago in terms of China's gold production. Right now, China is at least number two, and it might even be number one, and it might be number one by a lot. And there is a big question. When Bloomberg says we haven't included data for China because there's considerable uncertainty about how large China's gold holdings currently are, well, there's considerable uncertainty about how large the United States gold holdings are. In fact, if I had to bet on who has a better handle on who has more reliable information on the volume of gold held by China and the volume of gold or the magnitude of gold held by the United States, I'm going to make you bet that we have a better idea how much gold is in China than we do in the United States vaults. So it's just interesting to me and a little bizarre that here we have Bloomberg and the International Monetary Fund issuing charts that don't include China, but they do include the United States, based on claiming that we still have as much gold as we had back in 1953. We haven't bought any more, haven't lost any, got it all. Bunk. It's not true. All right? And it raises questions. What's going to happen when it's finally admitted and the world finally gets down and says, uh-oh, I don't think the United States has any gold left? What's going to happen to the price of gold? And everybody understands, yeah, I don't think you need a degree in economics in order to say, if the United States doesn't hold any more gold, then there's a couple of things that are going to happen. Whatever efforts, insofar as there are efforts to suppress the price of gold, and those efforts are based on leasing gold from the Federal Reserve and or the United States into the economy in order to suppress the price of gold and support the illusion that the fiat currency is worth something, insofar as they've been doing that, if they run out of gold, they can't do it anymore, can they? If the gold treasury for the United States and or Federal Reserve, if it's been exhausted or nearly so, that means the manipulation's coming to an end and not so far into the future. It could happen in the next several quarters. Maybe next quarter, might be a couple of years, I don't know. But we are coming to a moment when odds are they can't continue to suppress the price of gold by leasing gold into the economy. What's going to happen to the price of gold when they run out? When it's known and admitted that they run out? And the answer is the price of gold is going to go up, 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 and up. It's going to skyrocket. It's going to reach levels that a lot of people today, there is a strong probability. I can't give you prophecy, but there is a strong probability that the price of gold is going to reach levels that are almost unimagined today. And when you look at some of these things, then you see in the earlier article we talked about it in the first segment of the program, talked about Volcker saying and gold was the enemy, and they understood it, and claiming that they, and Greenspan admitting that they could use gold, they were prepared to lease gold into the economy to suppress the price of gold. And that was back in 1998. So we've had, 17 years of gold manipulation, or perhaps that many years by the government. They're maybe out of gold as a result. That was your gold, incidentally, ladies and gentlemen. That was the gold that belonged to the people of the United States of America, and it's been gone, and what for? It's been removed, diminished significantly, which is probably why they refuse to allow an audit. They don't want the public to find out how much their gold they have urinated away. And what was the reason for urinating away all of our gold? It was to support the Federal Reserve and its number one product, which is fiat dollars. It was the biggest bank bailout in the history of the world. Talk about, we're bailing out. We're bailing out Wall Street. What we gave Wall Street is chump change compared to what we have probably given the Federal Reserve in terms of dissipating our own gold to maintain that the apparent value, the purported value, the illusory value of fiat dollars, which aren't constitutional, which are issued by a private corporation or owned and operated by private corporations, 12 private banks called the Federal Reserve Banks of the United States. We bailed them out with the nation's gold. It was the world's biggest bailout. Strong probability that's the truth, and we aren't going to find out the extent of that bailout unless and until someone finally says, all right, we're auditing, we are here to count the gold. And the Federal Reserve, that's not convenient today, you'll have to come in. No, we're coming in. You understand? See that? That's a division of Marines right there, and we are coming in the gate. If we have to blow the door on the vault, if we have the dynamite, we're opening the vault, we're going to count the gold. And if you know what's good for you, don't get in our way. If and when we get a fair count, an objective, reasonable, rational, accurate count on how much gold we have left in the Federal Reserve, it will be important information. The idea that they refuse to give us the inventory is evidence that they have effectively embezzled our gold. There's only one reason. Why wouldn't you want an inventory of the bank's assets, essentially? Why wouldn't you want inventory of those assets? For the first time, public audit, first time since 1953. Why not? How can the bank sit there, the Federal Reserve, and say, oh, we're not going to audit that, and also claim that they're entitled to the full faith, credit, confidence of the American people? Just trust us. We've got the gold. It's there. You don't need to count it. You people are all dumb. You wouldn't understand. You can trust us. We're the big people. We're the rich people. And we know what's best for all you peons. We'll count the gold, and you can trust us to give you an accurate count. That's crazy. Shouldn't trust them to tell us what time it is. If you want to know how much gold is in the vault, somebody needs to open the vault, and it needs to be counted in a way that everyone can agree is fair, objective, accurate, and correct. And we're going to do that sooner or later. It's going to happen. And I'm going to bet that the Federal Reserve doesn't want to do it right now because they're scared to death what's going to happen when the public finds out that some, most, maybe virtually all of the gold that they've claimed to have since 1953 has been gone. And why is it gone? To protect the fiat dollar, which is issued by a private banking system. Not to protect you, not to protect me, but to protect the Federal Reserve system and its member banks. Biggest bailout in world history. And it's probably all been dissipated, lost, and, you know, sort of thing that makes you furious. If you stop to think about it, you begin to understand that was your gold, ladies and gentlemen. That was my gold. That was Melody's gold. And it's strong probability it's gone. And if it's not, I want to count. I want to know how much is still there. We are out of time for this week. I want to thank all of you for listening. We'll be back on Monday. Melody and I will be back at that time. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Thanks for listening. Have a good weekend. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dream, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. Money, always sunny in a